Andre Bay, how you doing, man? You wanna wanna set up a time, huh? Yeah, I am. You know, for the most part, hey, Candace. I actually have like probably less than you would think people reach out and want to meet up with me to discuss something. Probably fewer than what you think. I can go 2 weeks sometimes without hearing from anybody, and then 1 week, you know, there's four people, so it's probably average. It's probably only a person, maybe two people a week that want to meet with me. Actually meet with me and discuss something. Oh, I know you were joking, Andre. I know you're joking. I thought about putting something back funny, but I decided not to because I would make some joke about, you know, I don't know, pot or something. I know you're joking. Debbie Salzman too, right on. I got the crew. Where's Dave Barnes? So you guys, you get kind of a treat tonight. I'm going to have Silas. Silas is going to play for us tonight. And so if you'll notice that on Sunday, it was like the second time I've done that. Silas does his first song. I get hammering away, chatting about stuff, and then boom, I wrap it up and say goodbye without Silas playing his, without Silas playing his second song. About pot, Candace, yeah, you know, stuff like that. I always, my humor gets me in trouble. All right, Sal, so you wanna play us a tune? This would be cool, guys. Oh, we got Diana and Michelle. So Diana and Michelle got to meet Bob Peeper today, I
Uh-oh.
hear. So that's cool. That's where I get my keen sense of humor and wit and my good looks. Actually, none of those. All right, here you
Okay, so this song is called Sandstorm. It is by Passenger. It's one of their new songs. It's really cool.
Crash land out in the desert, picking through the wreckage with shaking hands. Embers and ashes still burning, propellers still turning sand. Lover, oh my lover, I know I'm not easy to understand. Cover, oh take cover, 'cause I am a sandstorm and you are the sand. Last night was pain in the high sight, like a drunk in a bar fight, shame and alone. You're like a fox in the headlights, and I know that it's not right, but you're as cold as stone. Lover, oh my lover, no, I'm not easy to understand. Cover, oh take cover, 'cause I am a sandstorm, and you are the sand. Lover, oh my lover, no, I'm not easy understand. Cover, oh, take cover. I am the sandstorm, but you are the sand. Lover, oh, my lover. I know I'm not easy to understand. Cover, oh, take cover.
Right.
I am the sandstorm, but you are the sand. So I am the sandstorm, but you are the sand.
Thanks.
Thanks, man. That was cool. It's a cool song.
Thanks.
Silas, I'll holler. I'll holler when I need you again. Don't let me forget your second song, though.
Okay.
That was a cool song, man. I hadn't heard that before. You don't have a second one?
Hey, I'll
come up with a second one. Man, that's a nice song. Man, if only. I wish I could sing. I guess it's been more than a couple months ago, I did, my wife videoed me, just me, as I was lip syncing with Silas singing. And I'm kind of rocking back and forth, singing this old, I think it was a Tyler Childers tune or something. And she put it on Facebook. And even like my own mother was like, see, oh, Jake, I never knew you could sing like that. Yeah, just lip syncing. Wish I could sing. I can't. Silas and Claire are the musical folks in the family. And Silas is pretty good, man. I can only imagine. Imagine being a young guy and being able to play guitar and stuff and sing. What that can do. Crazy. Debbie Salzman, we got over the amount of reads for December 19th. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you guys did get plenty. Yeah, December 19th, still on. I'm looking forward to that. That'll be a cool thing. I mentioned this before, Debbie, that I haven't done things like that. So, that'll be cool. Rock stars born. I'm talking more like Diana Cooper. She says Matt and I met in choir. You know, many, many a young ladies like a young man that can sing and play the guitar. So hopefully he figures that out and stays being a good guy. All right, so I was going to, hey, Elizabeth, I was going to discuss what we talked about at the workshop, the aquatic center. That was a cool thing, and I know you guys will be interested in that. So, the Friends of Brookings Harbor Aquatic Center. Julianne Layton, Dr. Layton. Right? Yeah, she's a doctor too. She was, Anna Marie Curtis. Don't let me forget, because you mentioned you were from Manitou Springs, Colorado. I've been there. Cool. Julianne Layton came from the organization and chatted with us, and Jay Trost from the city. He's been involved in meeting with them. They're doing well. I was super jazzed to hear from them, and they're still clipping along at it. So they are thinking about or they're moving towards a ballot measure for a Parks and Recreation district using the school district map, which is the same as the Port District. So to the line up to about. To the California line up to about Pistol River is where the district would be. Putting the district measure on the ballot, and they were trying to figure out, they don't have a date. They don't have a date yet. And as far as what election is sticking on, they're still thinking about that. Time, you know, time wise and things. So I'm thinking, they were talking possibly even November of 21. You know, I think that's ambitious. I wouldn't be surprised if it takes a little longer than that. They're still working at with kind of about the $15 million price tag. Still looking at Bud Cross Park, you know, and that's the spot. That's still the spot. Bud Cross Park pretty much being handed to them, at least most of the park, the majority of the park. $15 million and float a bond to make the district. And they weren't sure, and no one at the city was really sure how it would work as far as putting, if you have to form a district first with a ballot and then come back to try to float a bond to actually build it, or if you can do them both in the same thing. Dave Barnes, will it create another special district and a new tax? Affirmative. So, you know, I'm not super concerned about some leadership there and their feelings on special districts. There was Councilor Henskog brought up, you know, past ballot measures to make a district, and like for the sheriff's department and for the hospital to include ourselves in the district, and how those failed. And so he's cautious as far as what would be able to cut the mustard for voters. I wouldn't call it super, super ambitious, optimistic. I mean, I think that if we're offered a choice, you know, as a voter, I'm asked, do I want to join this district and pay this amount for a aquatic center? You know, it's getting something in return. It's getting something very tangible, something new that is going to be built if I vote yes. I think it's going to get, I think it's going to get traction. I think it'll be all right. Though it's one thing to vote and kind of institute like a law enforcement district or something to pay for a sheriff's department that is already existent. You know, it already exists. When years ago, 10, 15 years, 15, 20 years ago, when the city council discussed forming a parks and rec district to kind of take over all of the city's parks, and that didn't really get much traction, but obviously, like, we already have parks. People in Harbor can already come over and use Azalea Park, so why would they vote to have to start paying for something they already have? So I think it'll be a good example is the gas tax that Brookings voters passed. You know, it was if the gas tax gets voted in, this $3 a month is coming off your bill, you know, and it was kind of it was nothing that the council like really pushed or tried to market and propagate and campaign for, because it was either or, give the voters a choice on something, and it being a very clear and simple proposition, and just let the voters choose. The special districts are democracy in its smallest, purest form. Dave Barnes, that is a that's a way of thinking that I prescribe to, you know, local government. That's been my only interest in politics and in government has been at the local level, because I think a city council, you know, you elect five people to kind of watch to run the city amongst 6,500 of us, and we're elected right out of the community, and in a small community we all see each other, and It's pure, and it's very local, very, very local. So a special district like that, they would have an elected board, elected within the district, you know, kind of like the library or the port, to oversee the operation of it. I was encouraged that Dr. Layton, I'm not sure if it's Layton or Layton. I always mispronounce and never remember when I'm corrected. That they have been, the manager of the YMCA at Grants Pass has been chatting with them a lot, and they've been in close contact with him. I don't remember what his name was. But looking at a YMCA actually operating the facility after it's built. So that would be good. I think that's the best I bet that's the best idea. $15 million might be a little short now. You know, I think that estimate was a few years ago. It might be a couple 3 million more. I wouldn't be surprised, but 15 to 20 million, you know, we could do that. Layton. Yeah, right on. Thanks, Candace. I think it's doable, and I think the community will belly up. You know, if it's truly something that we want, and I know there's a lot of us that want it, but you never really know for sure until the vote comes down. Candace Michelle, so would the new special district be taking over running all city parks? No. So the district, and I asked Dr. Layton that, is if the district was going to be formed for one singular issue, being the rec center, aquatic center, and she said in the affirmative. So the issue with the city giving actually deeding Bud Cross or the majority of Bud Cross to them doesn't have anything to do with the rest of our parks. So we're still, we still have a parks budget. It's about 300, maybe 350 a year to run all of our parks. But that Parks and Rec district is just, you know, it's like the district boundaries is just a big overlay. So people in the city limits are still going to be part of the district, and it's going to be separate, you know, as it should be. And I like the idea of it being a special district, you know, and not necessarily something managed by the city or the county, you know, or anything super political. Just float a bond. We all pay some tax money to have this aquatic center, and we elect an oversight board to make sure the money gets spent right. You know, nothing political about it. It's all just about running an aquatic center. So that was cool. That was really cool, guys. I was glad to hear from them. Really glad. And I think the community will stand for that. I think we can vote it in. So I'm really hoping. The other part of our workshop was reviewing city code, a certain section, a handful of sections of it. Great news. I know, right, Candace? And you know what's crazy is, like, you know, the timeline isn't that far off. So if it was November 21 to form the district, if they can do the bond and forming the district on the same vote, that would be cool. You know, I could see, you know, you're talking about spring of 23, maybe 24 to actually start building something, you know. That'd be cool. You could see it, Holly Beyer, in your lifetime. You could see it. You could swim in that pool. It could be done by then. So that would be great. Really, really great. Code review. So I had mentioned it before. Candace asked a question about the agenda item, and mentioned how it, you know, she just wasn't really sure. It seemed like new regs and new regulations. And I described that the reason this was really brought up was because we had a new city attorney recently hired within a few months, and her familiarizing herself with our code, you know, found a lot of little things that didn't quite work. So the most the only thing that really you would be interested in, that I would think you would be interested in, we kind of clarified some language as far as staying in a camper or RV inside of the city. You can't live and reside in an RV, but a property owner, if you pull a building permit and you have this vacant lot and you're going to build yourself a house on that lot, you can bring your travel trailer on the lot and stay in there. You can have family come and visit you, and as long as they're out of the street, you know, they need to park in your driveway or something, and they can stay in their RV for 14 days, 14 calendar days. The other part that it would be interesting to people is we clarified and added some language to our parking section of the code. And really what a driver for that was a lot, you know, people living in their vehicles parked around town on city streets. You know, that was the deal there with that one. You all right? Oh, I thought you were waving at me.
No.
Oh. Boy, I'm trying to remember. I'm going to have to look at my notes, because we batted that one around for a while, and I don't remember where we landed. And parks, too. I'll talk about the parks. Yeah, I guess that was it for parking vehicles and staying in vehicles. I guess that was really it. I was afraid some of it was anti-unhoused. Yeah. If you look at that like anti-unhoused, then it was anti-unhoused, because the problem there trying to be solved are people parking on residential streets and living in their car. That was the deal. We clarified parks use permits, or at least, you know, we're going. It's draft, so it'll come to a council meeting. But we were talking about park use language. How else can you look at it, Candace? As far as like being anti-homeless, well, or anti-unhoused, how else could you look at it? So there's a pro side to every anti, right? It isn't coming up because, you know, city staff folks want to run unhoused out of town that are living in their cars. You know, the issue is the people that live there, and they don't want somebody living in their car or their old van out in front of their house. That's the deal. So to those people, it would be, you know, pro. I would love to hear the pro community safety. You know, pro. Nowhere the city isn't interested. City council isn't interested. Michelle, I want to know what that is, what that isn't, or what you're referencing there. Michelle, throw up another comment. Holly Byer, what about river guides parking boats and trucks for days on the street? So generally, like everybody, it's only 72 hours that you can leave something. You can leave something on a street. Now, if you are if you park a truck in front of your house or something for longer than 72 hours, sooner or later someone's going to call, or you know, someone's going to complain about it, and a cop's going to come out and look at it, and he's probably just going to knock on your door and tell you to move it. So it's Michelle, and where they can sleep. So, as far as parks go, camping and sleeping in parks, the language is being proposed to clarify in the code a policy that the PD has kind of already been doing as far as people camping in the park, in that they can put up a tent and sleep in the park. And need to be out of there by the time the park opens, or at least, you know, tear down their tent and not be camping in there when the park opens. Candace Michelle, so it sounds like we took a step backwards, not forwards. Are you talking about at the street parking thing? The thing is the street parking thing and allowing people to live in their van on the street hasn't ever been allowed, and you know they were getting contacts, but the issue is trying to sync the code, you know, syncing the code with the policy there and clarifying it. So, I mean, if you think that it's okay for people to, you know, to park on a street and sleep in their rig, then this would be a step backwards for you, I guess. Yeah. I get it. I get people need a place to sleep, and someone pulling over by, you know, on a residential street and sleeping in their rig for the night isn't really that big of a deal to me. You know, the problem cases, that wasn't the case, you know, because the fact is if you parked on Easy Street or whatever, some street, and slept and woke up in the morning, got in your vehicle and moved, nobody would say boo. They have to park somewhere for pity's sake. Yeah. And I would just, and when I've spoken to people like that, that are looking for a place to park, you know, I tell them not inside of city streets, you know. I mean, there's always been a handful of people that have their regular spots on turnouts on the highway, or rest area, or Lone Ranch, House Rock, Cape Ferrello, those lots up there. There's like, you know, there's a few people that are always there every night, and they move during the day, and then they go back at nighttime and sleep. So that's where I've told people, you know, not in neighborhoods. Just don't do it in neighborhoods. Yeah, I don't know. It wouldn't be such a problem if there were more congregations that opened up their parking lots, you know, just to let people sleep in there overnight. Yeah, it's just doing it, you know, in neighborhoods. I could understand why a neighborhood wouldn't want someone sleeping in their van out on the street. So, I can get that one. The parks thing, there wasn't as much as what I thought there would be. Candace. Oh, the permit. That was a big, like a whole new paragraph. Things that you do in parks that would require a permit. That was defined a bit better. There's a lot of things that, you know, people get parks permits for already. So it wasn't necessarily, it wasn't new. It wasn't anything new. That was really it. I mean, some of, like Candace, or any of you that are interested in it, I mean, just pull the packet, download the packet online and read through it. And the packet that you download, should have the, you know, the red verbiage and the, you know, the cross outs and you can read through it. There's, out of a 30 page document, there's only like 5 pages or anything that have any changes on them. So I'll keep you up to date on it. Oh, you know what I forgot to mention about the aquatic center is, and this was the first time I ever heard like a good hard number as far as financially and operations of it. They figure that they would need 1,800 members for an aquatic center to keep it operating in the black. And that number is doable, so that was good news too. Well, Candace, let's chat more about it, Candace. Maybe on our Wednesday interview. You know, we can chat more about it. And it'll be nice to have someone actually answering me and questioning the things that I say. So if you want to, we can chat about it more. I'm assuming, Candace, that the changes you're talking about are just for the parking. Again, there's not really a day-to-day change there. You know, nothing really has changed as far as enforcement policy of people parking on the street. That hasn't changed. A couple interesting things came up right at the end of the workshop. So at the end of every workshop, we have a, you know, the line item is council member requests for future workshop topics. Councilor Hedenskog asked for a workshop agenda item to basically to discuss the possibility of the city operating an emergency broadcast station like KCIW was doing. So basically he premised it by saying during the KCIW lease negotiations, you know, this emergency broadcast capability was brought up, and I'm for that. And so what would it take for the city to be able to do it, even if it was that 12 what's the AM? There's like a government AM, 1210 or something. So that was interesting. He had spoken to me about it like last month, and he was going to bring it up. I don't know what will come of it. You know, if anything, I mean, I'm guessing the price tag on it is just going to be crazy. You know, and it's really going to be interesting when we see a price tag of emergency broadcast capabilities. And there's going to be there's I'm not going to point any fingers, and I'm not going to say I told you so, but it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see if light bulbs come on. You know, like, yeah. After so that's set. That's future workshop topic. Probably not till after the first of the year. I brought up and asked for a workshop agenda item to be added. It'll probably be February or even March workshop. I asked what staff's plan for, I asked the current status, what staff was doing and what their plan is for the future on the formal gardens at Azalea Park, and what the plan is there for upkeep. and I mentioned the fact that when I see the plan, and when they tell me how they think they're doing with it, that I'd like to look at Azalea Park Foundation again. So we'll see how that goes. I don't know. We'll see how that goes. It's unfortunate. Those of you that, you know about that and have been involved with either Azalea Park Foundation or something with Azalea Park or the city, you know the friction there, that started between Azalea Park Foundation and the city of Brookings. And it was the Azalea Park Foundation used to take care of the formal gardens. They'd always done it. Then through some time when that friction grew or whatever, the city didn't renew a contract with APF to keep doing it, and the city thought that we could just take care of it in-house. So kind of an interesting thing. It seemed to me to be a clear case of personalities being put before principles, you know. So a lot of the same personality is still around. So what are we going to do about that? You know, for it to go somewhere, we're going to have to figure something out with that. Coastal housing issues will change. And we paid lots for the upkeep, Holly Buyer. Yeah, I know you guys did. I know you did. And house didn't work real well. So this is funny, Candace and Holly. You guys will laugh about this. So when I brought it up, I look over and Ron Hedenskog's eyes are perking up, and it's because Ron's wife has been bugging him for like 6 or 7 months about how horrible the formal gardens look in Azalea Park. So he laughed and says, "Oh, I was going to bring it up if you didn't." So that's good. You know, I think that's some traction. That's some traction. Because at the end of the day, it's not about the city. It's not about Azalea Park Foundation. It's about the park, right? It's about the gardens. And so however those gardens can be taken care of and look the best for those of us that use the park, that's what matters. So we got to keep that in mind. Silas?
Yeah?
Want to play another tune? What do you got for us now?
I'm gonna play Castle on a Hill.
Castle on a Hill. Right on. Glad she mentioned that. You're talking about Rose and Skog, yeah. Yeah, that cracked me up. It really did. And it was funny too that he said she's been bugging me about it for months, and I was thinking, well, that's interesting. Why doesn't it come up? You know, why wasn't it brought up earlier? But okay.
So, this one, this song, of course, is a repeat. I'm going to play Castle on, not House on a Hill, but Castle on a Hill. When I was 6 years old, I broke my leg. I was running from my brother and his friends. Tasted the sweet perfume of the mountain grass that rolled down. I was younger then. Take me back to when I found my heart and broke it and made friends and lost it through the years. I've not seen these rolling fields in so long. Oh, how we've grown. I can't wait to go home. I'm on my way. I still remember these old country lanes. Singing to tiny dancers. I miss the way you made.
from the lawn through the backfield now. Getting fights with my friends and my first kiss on a Friday night. I don't reckon I did it right, but I was younger then. Take me back to when we found we got jobs, we got pain. Buy cheap spirits and drink them straight. Me and my friends have not thrown up in so long. Oh, how we've grown. I can't wait to go home. I'm on my way. I still remember these old country lights, singing to tiny dancers, and I miss the way you made me feel. That it's real when we watch the sunset over the castle on the hill. Down by the coast, one has two kids but lives alone. One's brother overdosed, one's already on his second wife, one's just barely getting by. But these people raise me and I can't wait to go home. And I'm on my way. I still remember these old country lanes when we did not know the answers, and I miss the way you made me feel. That it's real when you watch the sunset over the castle on the hill, over the castle on the.
Thanks, man. Thank you. So talking about the Massilia Gardens. Dallas Ott asked me on the post that I gave about what my knowledge or understanding was of the stimulus, or not stimulus, the support monies from the state that are going to be allocated to counties to be help small business, and the list of, you know, particularly owned by women, Black, people of color, indigenous, tribal members, Latina, Latino, Latinx, all this. I see Dallas Ott too. Dallas, I don't have any knowledge of that, honestly. What you are reading is all I know. And if they're divvied up to the counties, obviously it'd be like a certain amount to every county. It can't be the county actually administering the disbursement of funds. So I don't know. It's going to be too late by the time I figure it out. Shoot. Yeah. Sorry about that, Dallas. I wish I could help you more on that one. I'd be interested to know if you got anything the first time. Our business, supposedly $55 million to the counties. I never got anything. We never did. It was always, you know, it's like one of those things. If you have the manpower or like legal staff to sit down and apply for all that stuff and to be on the ball, like as soon as it comes out. I mean, by the time we started paperwork, one of the big pools, I mean, it was gone. It was gone before we could even fill out an application. So I don't know. If I hear more about it, Dallas, I'll ask. I'm going to try to find out just for personal reasons, but that'll be interesting. I wish I had more to help you on that one. Okay, guys. So I'm going to see you Thursday at 6. I hope. My work is pretty busy, and I'm leaving town for Thanksgiving. So, you know, this is like the last work week that I have. So if I end up having to work late on Thursday, I might have to put you guys off. But so Thursday will be the last time that you see me live, most likely. Possibly Sunday. I'll still be in within Wi-Fi service on Sunday, and maybe I'll come on. I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet for Tuesday and Thursday. You know, I thought about, I think I at least want to post a video or something of me talking into the camera like this. So I'll try to do that. Candace and I are on tomorrow, and Candace, I'm not sure. I think it's just a no-go. You know, I don't see any possible way we could do it for next Wednesday. So, okay. So I'll see you Thursday at 6:00.